just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
When troubles call and your back's to the wall, there's a lot to be learned that one could fall.
Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes.
Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Gathering Offering. My name is Jerry Kirk, and I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. Today is July 1st, 2010 in pagan time. In the Lord's time, this is the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fifth year, the fourth month, and the 28th day. As we start out with talking about the Lord's time, the very first thing, the very second thing we hear after the 111th is Jubilee. We're always in a Jubilee, ladies and gentlemen. We're in a Jubilee if we understand that the Father's will is always happening. No matter what side of the fence you're on, His will is always going on. Anyway, at the beginning of every one of these offerings, it's a requirement to offer a blessing. Father in heaven, I offer praise and blessings to you as I offer praise and blessings to your only begotten Son. I cannot thank you with words or thoughts so much, Father, for allowing me to have these past 25 weeks and today for a total of 26 weeks to be able to reach out and offer some thoughts and possibly some paperwork and possibly some action to the brothers and sisters that have eyes and ears. It has been very, very hard for me to describe how many different people that I have talked to in the last 6 months. It's impossible to remember all their names, but I do remember events, and people call me sometimes 2 or 3 months after the first time and after they talked to me a little bit, and I remember what they were talking about, Father. And I praise you and I bless you for that, Father. And it is your will, Father, that these individuals that are listening, that the ones that are bearing down, the ones that are studying hard, those are the ones that you want to open their eyes at that time. So I praise and I bless you, Father, for your will. And your will always will be done. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a little bit of, if you will, house cleaning, paperwork, whatever to visit with. We did start a telephone conference call last week. It is on Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Central Time. The phone number is 1-712-432-0075. The access code for the people that call in 715-718, and push the pound sign. If you do not have a one rate, and then you may be experiencing long-distance calling charges. I don't receive any of that, and I don't want the telephone company necessarily to get it either. If you cannot afford your minutes charge, my minutes are 10 cents a minute. I know others that are 5 cents a minute. If you cannot afford your minute charge, don't call in. If you do have unlimited calling and your unlimited calling does not eliminate conference calls. Certainly would appreciate you calling in tonight at 8 p.m. Central. We are going to be working on 4 specific subjects tonight. And I hope that you become interested. Also, materials of this particular program, the Gathering Offering, are at freedom-school.com. Go to the link to my name, Jerry Kirk. The telephone conference call has a recording that lasts for 1 week. James down in Austin has taken and gotten the recording, but has not have last week's telephone conference call up and available for you. He is working on that so that the people that can't, that don't have a one rate, shortly you'll be able to, we hope, if everything goes right, you'll be able to get on the computer, go to freedom-school.com, and listen to the conference call. I know that's maybe not as good as being able to ask questions and listen in live, but it's the best that we could offer at this time. I would also like to point out to you, in case this telephone conference call number changes, time, number, or anything of that nature, please go to the website and look for any changes. James is very particular about this stuff. Okay, now, the second thing that I need to talk to you all about is this was a 26-week course. 2 weeks ago, a listener from Texas called up and said he did not want this course to end. And so he called and made arrangements with First Amendment Radio, and so we're going to be continuing for another 8 weeks. He did not donate this money to me. He directly paid it to First Amendment Radio. Now, starting next week, we should have a board operator so that we can take callers. Now, that was what I was told, and that's what I'm expecting will happen. We do not have a board operator today, and so thusly I won't give out the call-in number, but next week I will give out the call-in number so we should be able to take calls. And so this will be a great addition, and we're going to try to be doing appendixes of what we've done in the first 26 weeks, go into a little bit greater detail, allow some of the people that cannot afford to have a conference call be able to call in and, visit. Plus, on top of it, the microbroadcasters, this material in the next 8 weeks will also be available to them. The callers will be able to get out and ask questions and so forth to go out over there, which the conference call doesn't do. So I think that's very wonderful. And so we need to thank a man in Texas whose initials are SP. And I thank you very much, and I was quite surprised about this, and it only got totally finalized this past Monday. So it was news to me, and I hope it is appreciated by y'all, and I thank Nicholas Arthur of First Amendment Radio for providing a board operator for this. Okay, and another thing I want to talk about. There have been a lot of callers in the last couple of weeks to me, and I'm sure that a few people thought I was a little bit off or a little bit terse, and maybe I've sounded that way on this program, too. I do want to apologize, but about 18 days ago, I got bit 19 times by a brown recluse spider on my tailbone. And so I was kind of like not feeling real good for 7 or 8, 9, 10 days, and I was quite swollen, and it seems to be under control now, so I've got plenty of excuses. But anyway, if I've sounded a little terse to any people when I was talking to them or anything, I was a little tired, and I have been a little bit swamped with work, and then, of course, I've been, taking care of my tailbone. Never been bit 19 times by a spider, but I can tell you what, when you got to dig out those little blister things with your thumbnail, and you got 19 of them right there about the size of the palm of your hand, it does get tender after about 4 or 5 days. Okay, now, today had been scheduled for the last, of a 26th of 26 weeks. And so I wound up with, because I spent too much time on some other subjects, did them, 2 weeks in a row on some of them, I'm going to jam in 2 things today. But now, thanks to the gentleman in Texas, we're going to jam them a little bit today, but we're still going to go back over them in the coming weeks. And especially, the first one we're going to do today is Chapter 7. And Chapter 7 is entitled Time, possibly the most important subject. Did Adam have a time wristwatch to tell time? And I didn't spell that incorrectly. I didn't mean to say Timex. I meant time, plural. We're in Part D. Part D's entitled Having Hard Time, Learn Time, and Enjoy Time, Serenity. Now, moving on. Almost all people think that they can look at their wristwatch, and they can take a look at the calendar, and they know what day it is. They know what time it is. And they actually think that they know something. They look at their almanac, their computer, their newspaper, their TV, etc., and they know exactly when spring equinox is because it's printed and given to you by the Babylonian government system. And, of course, who really cares? I mean, who cares that we're doing daylight savings time? I don't do it, not in the Word of God. Who cares when spring equinox is? Well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe you were never taught this in school. Maybe your parents didn't know to teach you. My parents did not know to teach me about these subjects. I just got blessed. Now, call it lucky or whatever. I was curious, but it happened to me. Now, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14, and I'm just going very quickly down on this paperwork. You need to read this, all this stuff, very meticulously, or you're not going to get it. I'm just doing some highlights. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14, there are some words. If you see your, Y-O-U-R, belonging to you, doesn't say the Lord. And then it says, my soul hateth. Wow. I wonder what he's talking about there. Do you see again it's the word your and vain oblation? That means what you're doing, your vanity. It says you spread forth your hands. That's in prayer. Your hands are full of bread, blood. Does this kind of tell you that the Lord is upset with you? You read where he said his soul hateth what you're doing? He hateth. Because, you know what? You're not keeping his time. Now, if you hate something, do you go out there and give it, you know, ice cream and cookies and a big T-bone steak and a baked potato and salad? Do you provide it with everything that you want if you hate something? Or do you kind of punish it? Do you get rid of it? Do you push it away? Well, blessedly, the Father's will is that he will recapture and bring into bondage his remnant in the latter days, those with eyes and ears. I have been measuring from spring equinox to fall equinox for almost 11 years. And every single time that I measure from spring to fall equinox, it's 182 days. And from fall equinox to spring equinox is 182 days. And I've been doing this almost 11 years. Yeah, and so I do not believe, I know for a fact that there are not 365 and a quarter days in a year. But I actually know how to measure equinox. And that's what this part D today is to bring you up to speed. Now, there's pictorials with this. Thanks. Same fellow in Texas sent me a digital camera and let me borrow it, take some pictures, never knew how to do it. A fellow from Missouri come on down and showed me how to do it, and a lady up the way put it on her computer. So I really didn't do much except, you know, push this little button, and then James had to sort it out and type some stuff on it. You know, I typed the words, but he had to do all that. So I really didn't do much work. First set of pictures is what I call serenity. And on those pictures right there, the very one on the top is viewing to the southwest from my front porch area. I'm actually standing by the fence, but, you know, this is what I just got a little closer, you know, to it. Then the second picture is looking directly west. And then the third picture is looking to the northwest. And that's what I have to look at every morning, every noon, every night. Don't you feel sorry for somebody living in the mountains and having to look it out at something like that? Not me. I think it's wonderful. Okay, now, the next set of pictures. There's two on the next page, and it's page number 3. And I'm not going to go over all this stuff. This right there is just strictly for you to read and to understand. Now, if I need to have to explain this out to you in great detail, you ain't going to get nothing. And if you don't get this the very first time you read it, don't be upset. Read it again and stop and think. And look at the picture and look what it's talking about. It goes step by step by step. In essence, what page 3 is telling you is from Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 19, in part, that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, what I have done here is I have set up a replica of the north-south wall of Jerusalem on the western side. I didn't set up the eastern side or the north or the east-west walls. I only set up the north side, north-south wall that is on the west side. This is for measurement purposes. The whole point of this is to show and teach and share with folks, not really teach, but to share and offer to you, how to take and set up and accurately measure noon in your location. Without knowing how to do that, you cannot measure time. If you do not measure time, you are going to have to rely on Babylon to tell you. On page 4, there's two pictures. Again, you'll read it. Notice the fact that in these pictures, my shadow is there. If you're not casting a good, bright shadow, you're not going to cast, your own body, you're not going to cast good, bright shadow. If it's cloudy, if it's raining, you can't do this stuff. It's that simple. Now, it's very important to notice on the top picture that the shadow on the aluminum platform is parallel to the upright. And you don't know what I'm talking about if you haven't read this and you haven't got your paper in front of you, and I can't help that. Once you learn how to do this setup, and let's say you don't have a compass, when you get your platform level and plumb and all that kind of good business, by getting that shadow parallel with the upright, and there's scribed lines it talks about in the verbiage there, you can get north-south without a compass. Now, I found that pretty interesting, to find another way to get north-south by setting up something level and plumb, and now I got north-south. So, yes, you'll see that I used a compass to set all this up, but I don't need that anymore. I needed it at the beginning, and I did not know that if I moved a scribed line over about an inch and a half, inch and three quarters, that I would wind up being able to determine north-south. I only learned that by seeing it happen. I said, oh, wow, I need to scribe another line on that. Look at that. It's totally parallel. Now I know north-south, and you can get out there with your platform. You can just turn it a little bit one way or a little the other way, and guess what? It won't be parallel. The very bottom picture, you see that the shadow is directly under your crossbar. And, I realize that if you get there with a fine tune, it'll look like it might be a little bit off, but it's not. I assure you, when you get it, you will see that it's dead under the crossbar. When that occurs, that is when noon occurs. In the Word of God, that's called E-V-E-N, even. It is now, whereas in Genesis chapter 1, and it was the evening and the morning were the first day, or the evening and the day were the first day. Now, evening begins 1 second after noon. Look it up in your dictionary. Evening does not start when the sun sets below the western horizon. This is critical. If you do not know how to measure noon, you cannot measure equinox. When you learn how to measure noon, and you measure equinox, it on the western horizon now, it always happens on Thursday. Year after year after year after year. And then guess what? From spring equinox to fall equinox is 182 days. Now, I don't need to argue with anybody about this. I've gone out there and measured it. And all you have to do is set this up, and then you're going to say, wow, I'm learning time. Now, on the next page, which is page 5, in the top picture, you'll see a string. Just a string shadow up there. And that's going to be, that'll be discussed in the paperwork that's coming, that you'll be in this part. The second picture is just from the north view of the shadow being directly under the crossbar. You do not read this stuff. And he's just looking at the pictures. Well, go buy a comic book. You have to read this. You have to study it. You have to get it. Now, due to the time constraint, I'm not going to be able to go over all of the material and all the definitions and how to go things. There's discussion that goes with it. But what I want you to hear unequivocally, because pages 6 through 11, I don't have time to go over it today. Just that plain, just that simple, and the type of detail I need to go over. What I started observing in the fall equinox of 2008 is that the sun, the ball of the sun, has apparently was a little bit more south at fall equinox than it had been for over 8 years. And now how do I know that? Because I marked a notch by viewing it and marking a notch on the tree line of the mountain line to the west of it. And it just always, boom, that's when equinox occurred. So in the fall of 2008, when the puppy was a little bit off, I said, what the heck happened here? I certainly wasn't drinking any alcohol or participating using any types of drugs or anything like that. I said, what happened? It was about a degree to a degree and a half off. Well, ladies and gentlemen, since then, the sun is now approximately, and I cannot give you an exact measure because I don't know how to do an exact measurement of this exactly. Well, I do, but I don't have the equipment. All right? Or I haven't figured out how to make homemade equipment, if you will, to do this. And we're somewhere between 9 and 9.5 to 10.5 degrees too far south. Now, I mentioned to everybody that on last Thursday that, Friday would be the last day of the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of First Fruits. Today it's now 3 weeks later after summer solstice. When summer solstice occurred, I noted its location. And then guess what happened ever since then, folks? The sun is moving to the south on its normal path. Look at your calendar. Look at when they told you that summer solstice occurred. I'm an individual with my own eyeballs. I've got no reason to lie about this. You're not paying me. Nobody's paying me. I don't care to be any kind of celebrity. I am flat telling you that from the day I told you that it was summer solstice, the sun is now on its path to the south. There are numerous other pieces of information that I want to go into about this. Hear me very clearly. I expect shortly that this, what we had was like the north, the earth sort of tilted more to the north. I expect the earth, and I don't know when, I've never seen a burning bush, I haven't said somebody come down here and say, Jerry, I'm anointing you. No, I'm just working on this stuff, trying to observe it. I expect the earth to start tilting back to the south. The Word of God tells you, and the earth shall rock to and fro. Now, everybody thinks, well, that's just some kind of fast rocking machine. No, it will slowly go to, one way, then it'll come back the other way, and the time frame in between the movement, either to the north, being the earth's tilts to the north, and then it'll tilt back to the south. That will decrease between the north-south movement. Will it speed up? Well, obviously, it's speeding up if it moves 10.5 degrees, and it takes 2 years, 2.5 years to do that. And the next time it comes through, it only takes 2 years to do it. That's speeding up. Now, a number of weeks ago, and I don't remember exactly, it was about 7 or 8 weeks ago, maybe 9 weeks ago, NBC talked about the Nile River in Egypt. Talked about how it was 2 feet higher than it was supposed to be, and it was salt water had intruded back 30 to 40 miles up the Nile River. This is a major calamity over there. They've used the Nile River for centuries and centuries to irrigate their crops. It's now salt water. A week later they did, and this is national TV, there is an island just south of New Orleans, Louisiana Island, a bunch of Louisiana Indians that live in there forever and ever. And they did a special on their island. And the salt water had risen over 2 feet on their island. And they showed their trees and their grass and everything was dead from the salt, and the Indians are having to evac. Well, folks, if your equator is moving, if you will, from where it is to the north, guess what happens? You wind up with an increased water level. Now, J.R. Moore, he's got a radio show, and on RBN, and I think on another show, and he talks about regularly how at the equator, the water is 450 feet higher there than it is, say, in Miami Beach, Florida. And this is because of the spinning effect of the Earth. It makes the water ball up at the equator. And for 750 miles to the north and south of the equator, the water slopes back down for, 750 miles from the equator, the 450 feet slopes back down to normal sea level. Well, what's happening is the equator is moving, and it's increasing or decreasing, depending on where you live, your sea level. Now, you can go look that up. You can see the evidence. Some of you folks got a computer. You can get on MSNBC, go to their computer, and hunt this stuff down. This is happening. I expect very clearly, when I don't know, that it will start to rock back to the other way. Now, as this rocking back and forth, it decreases the amount of time it takes to move about 10.5 degrees. I'm not positive it's through moving to the north of the Earth. But when if it has reached its thing, and I have some evidence to that effect because I've been watching this very closely this year, I'm not going to speak of it yet. As it moves back, if it moves back, let's say, like I said, in less than 2 years or less than 2.5 years, and that puppy winds up being 10.5 degrees, by my estimation, it might be 11.5. I ain't got exactly measurement there. And folks, you know we are approaching that thing. Right. Be back after the break. Thank you.
There goes another problem kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
I just talked with one of these elite the other day, and he told me the latest of everything the elite have planned for the world for the next 2 years.
Shocking. This DVD, Tragedy, Hope, and Reality, the latest title by Lindsay Williams. Our production team at First Amendment Radio has condensed Lindsay's 3 DVD set down to a single DVD presentation.
So I'm going to tell you right now, up front, everything that I feel will impact your life in a major way in the next 24 months.
2.5 hours of the most important details of what the elite have planned for America and the world.
Within 2 years, he said, you will not recognize the United States of America.
Will you be ready?
And here is the part that startled me more about anything that he said. He said, war is planned. And he told me where it's going to be.
Will you even believe it?
Gasoline will remain the price it is right now until we have war. You're going to be paying $4 to $10 a gallon overnight.
First, you must see it. Two copies, one for you and one for you to give away when you send a support donation of $20 to First Amendment Radio. Use the chip-in event on our website or send $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. Make copies and give them away. A wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. Tragedy, hope, reality.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines. 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide for my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide, starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jerry Kirk. This is the Gathering Offering, and I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears, especially those that are opening their eyes and ears. And I'm supposed to say this is week 26 of a 26-week course. And since we have now been blessed by the gentleman from Texas, whose initials are SP, to have 8 more weeks, we are going to call those appendixes. Be able to get into this material and some other material a little bit more in depth in the next 8 weeks. Thank you, Father, for that individual's attitude. There are two things I want to go over. Three things. I want to give out the telephone conference call number one more time. 1-712-432-0075. For your code number that you need. 715-718. I think you're supposed to push the pound after that. Hope you will call in tonight from 8 p.m. Central. We're going to probably do 2 hours. And we have 4 subjects already picked out that the callers suggested. And every week, at the end of the 2 hours, we'll be asking the participants to suggest the subject that we will go over the next week. Again, James has gotten a recording of this, and he is working on getting up the telephone conference call so people will be able to access this on at his website, freedom-school.com. That's in the future. Second thing I'd like to point out is that I have been working trying to get a way to hook in another radio station and asked me to do 2 hours once a week, and I thought a pretty good time. No one in my area has DSL. Everybody has the direct dial type thing, and that's too slow for a radio. I was also told that I could be able to use an ISDN box, which was a digital telephone line. I could afford that expense, although I'd have an awful lot more hours than I needed on that monthly rate. But they don't have that service available. If anybody is aware, and the manager, owner, whatever, of the other radio station does not want to use the telephone, I wish he did, because then that problem would be solved. However, if anybody knows any type of electronic method where I could call them on their computer or something of that nature, then I could go through their computer and not have the telephone static background, the things that happen on the telephone. I can't control the weather. In my area, when there's lightning and thunder and stuff like that, a lot of rain, sometimes we lose line. So if anybody knows a method to be able to bypass that, it would give an opportunity to have 2 hours once a week, and of course this radio, that other radio show, don't have to pay. Not complaining about First Amendment, they got to pay their bills, and they don't have commercials, you know, on a regular basis. The other guy pays for his programs by having commercials, but, you know, I wouldn't have to pay there. Second thing is sort of like a little interesting to me. I had mentioned to a few people the 2 weeks that ABC News out of New York called me and did a 45-minute interview with me on the phone. They called me yesterday and said, we'd like to send a camera down there tomorrow, being today. And we want to possibly use this material on, you know, the news with Diane Sawyer tonight, being Thursday. Well, folks, I'm in the middle of Haines. I called them back. I didn't get out of the shower till 9:15 last night. And that's my time. That's not daylight savings time. And I called them back, and I said, look, when I get through Haines, you know, maybe in a couple of weeks, you know, give me a call. We'll try and get it together then. So anyway, you know, there is some feedback going on from this radio program, The Gathering Offering. So I thought I'd throw that out. Now, the second thing that we're going to do today is we're going to go to Chapter 4. And in Chapter 4, it was called An Arrow in Flight, Straight Down the Middle, Shortest Distance Between Two Points, A Straight Line. And I'm doing C and D because they're all put together to me. And C and D is called Attitude and Serenity. You decide. Now, let's see. We did something and we talked about serenity in the first half hour. So I have to ask a question. Does serenity come before attitude? You want to be able to think about that for a second. For me, attitude comes before serenity. However, once serenity is achieved, it is sometimes okay for individuals to see my serenity in some form or another before they see my attitude. Okay, once I've achieved that. And it doesn't mean in all cases. I said in sometimes it's okay. Okay? Now, before we turn the page, it also says some people are going to be upset with it. And I don't think there's anybody more upset with the paperwork that is in Chapter 4, Part C and D, than Jerry Francis Kirk. But I must follow the Father's law. And there are other people that are going through this. It's called fruit inspection. Sometimes we have this happen. Now, isn't this amazing? When you turn the page, you get right to the very first picture, three pictures, that were talked about in the first half hour. Very same pictures. Then you turn the page to the next picture, and you see a new picture. And I call that attitude. And that's a picture of my front gate. That's how I handle a lot of things. And you know where I stand. When you pull, if you don't know me and you pull up, you've got a pretty fair idea that somebody living behind that gate's got an attitude. Look very carefully to the right. Devoted land deed owned by the Father and the Christ. Of course, you see my little puppies. They're only about 15 months right now. They're Rhodesian Ridgeback. This is bad dog. Don't enter. Blow horn. Well, they're not completely trained up yet, but they will be in the next couple months. Maybe 6 months. Now you look at the middle sign, to the last drop and to the last breath. Is that attitude? Don't come around here on the when this land belongs to the Father and His only begotten Son and try and tell me some kind of garbage federal, state, or county ordinance that violates the Father's law. Just that simple. Don't be doing that. Don't come in here armed on the Father's land. Don't you be trying to do that. Ain't going to happen. I don't care if you're government or you're an individual. Don't come in here armed. Because that sign tells you what's going to happen. To my last drop and to my last breath. And if you don't have a proper attitude, how in the hell are you going to stand up for the Christ? How are you going to stand up for the Father's laws? What did the Christ tell us? Fear not he who can kill your body but not your soul. Fear he who can kill your body and your soul. And another place, didn't he say, he who thinks to gain his life shall lose his life? He who loses his life for my sake shall gain his life? So does another 10 or 15 years of me, if I wanted to bow down and act like some kind of worm, let just anybody push me around, is that eternity? In the supper. Is that getting in to heaven? Not to me. I don't believe the Christ wants worms. I don't believe the Christ is inviting yellow belly sapsuckers to his supper. He's inviting people who got the attitude. You gonna keep his Father's law. Now over to the left, you'll see some other signs. You kind of understand them. People ask me how I handle the sentence. I give them a picture. Next page, you'll see some photographs of my unit, private conveyance. Top one's a Jeep. Jeep hadn't been running about 8 months now. It's got some kind of coil problem. It turns over and all that kind of good stuff, but I haven't had trouble to fix it. The next one's at the Bronco. It's, it's pretty noticeable. You go down the road. And then you see a close-up picture so that you can read my private conveyance information sign. That's what I get around it. The next page is a picture. And you'll see there's two pictures there, and you'll see a hood, and you'll see two doors. Well, those are my old doors. And I'm in the process of refurbishing my 1978 Ford van, my very first private conveyance. And I haven't had time to put my letters up there, my paint, my prayer. You ought to see members of law enforcement when they ain't seen me before, when I go down the road and they see that coming at them or they come up behind me, you ought to see their attitude. They absolutely think that I must be some kind of crazy lunatic, think I'm running around with 100 pounds or 10,000 pounds, whatever it is, of nitroglycerin. I've never seen nitroglycerin, don't know how to make it. The only time I've ever seen dynamite is on TV. I've never seen a stick of dynamite live. And I wouldn't be sure I knew how to blow it up anyway. So how in the world, these people, they get all crazy. Anyway, I hope in the next, month or so to come up the money to be able to get my prayer put on. I've got brand new hood, brand new doors on my van, and I'm in the process of putting it back together. Actually, I lack about 2 more hours, maybe. So I'm doing pretty good. Now, the next thing is where it's going to make some people upset with me. And it's page one, there's 3 pages. When you get through reading this, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to find somebody else in this country that has done it. I want you to find somebody else in this country that is willing to face the problems that each of us are facing. And we're facing fruit inspection problems. And I know all kinds of other folks that are having problems with their family. Part of their family, you know, won't do this, won't do that. Well, my family won't. So I had to ask myself a question. What I have in my possession belongs to the Father in heaven and His only begotten Son. You've seen my deed that I did in 2007. And they don't seem to be at the slightest bit interested in the Father's law. Why should I, because of man's tradition, because of man's ritual, why should it, when I die, should I give all of the Lord's possessions to somebody that has no interest in the Father's law? I have been cursed by some family members because of this. Well, you're doing people wrong. Now, I'm going to do it because it's the Father's law. Straight as an arrow, right down the middle. This is an in truth devoted land deed of possession upon death. Now, even if you didn't want to do it under this fashion, the individuals that are out there that would go out there and do one of these things for their land, even if it's owned by the government, and if, you know, say, mommy and daddy own the land and they had one of these deals like this, sort of like this, maybe a lot different language, though. When mommy and daddy died, if they had one of these things, then instantly the land would transfer to the children. And then the land would not be in probate. And then your family farm, maybe you got 100 acres. Maybe it's worth $500,000. No income taxes due on it. It's less than a $600,000 estate. However, you got to get that title in your name. And if you don't have one of these land deeds of possession upon death, guess what? The children are going to have to hire a lawyer. Now, lawyers usually, if there's no problems, going to charge you 15-20%. And so all of a sudden, Johnny and Sally, the two children, they got to cough $100,000 to some lawyers. $75,000, $100,000, sometimes more. Then all of a sudden, the family farm gets sold because mommy and daddy did not want to take the time and get the land. When they die, it transfers instantly, just like your accounts, if you're silly enough still to have checking and savings accounts and so forth. You go to the bank and you get a upon death instant transfer of the funds immediately to your children. You don't have to take that money through probate. Called pay upon death, the cash. Mommy and daddy can go fill that out at the bank. They can require it of the bank. That money doesn't have to go through probate. Don't have to come up with a bunch of money for the lawyers to take into it. You should be able to read this. It says, if I die, who the possession of this land goes for. Didn't say they get to own it. It says they get possession of it. It has restrictions in there. My sons do not take a vow to learn and live the Father's law. If they do not take that vow with me as a witness and have two signatures of my signature of their witnessing, this land goes to whatever individual, be it a man or men, woman or women, goes to them. Who they are, I don't know. That's not my responsibility. That is up to them. That is up to the Father in heaven. And I would prefer to have man, men, woman, women come here to occupy it, to possess it, to defend it, to live the Father's law. That's who I want to come take over the possession. Now, if my sons straighten out, okay, well, that's great. They got their, they can do it. And how many people will get to come here and live on it, that's up to them and that's up to the Father. But I tell you what, if I do get killed any time shortly in a violent-type fashion, you'll kind of probably understand the reason that happened. Because that devoted land deed to the Father and His only begotten Son, they're still trying to say that I owe taxes. I got a legitimate deed. And by the way, if you carefully read this deed of possession upon death, I relist the recording of the original deed in this. This is recorded under the deeds in this county. In other words, I double-dipped them. These people don't read this stuff. They just record it. That's all they're allowed to do is record it. They're double-dipped. This land belongs to the Father in heaven, his only begotten Son, the Christ, just like the sign out front says. Now, I want to read something. You of possession now have something that is most holy unto the Lord and the Christ. Govern yourself or yourselves accordingly. I, Jerry F. Kirk, offer blessings to those with eyes and ears which pledge their absolute allegiance and life to the Father and the Christ. So, see the third page. You can see all the other kind of good stuff that's on there. Recorded, stamped, sealed, original sent out to safe locations. Third original sent out to another separate, you know, completely all of them different stage. Turning back to the very first page where it says C and D. See the P.S.? Can you see the Alamo? Ladies and gentlemen, when you're living on land that's owned by the Father and is only begotten from the Son, the Christ, they want to play with you? I'll declare this the Alamo any day they want to come try and tell me I got to eat pork. Offer me $10 million cash and 10 of the best-looking women in the world to eat one bite of forced, you're going to eat one bite of pork. And if you don't do that, Jerry, we're going to stick a .45 loaded right up to your temple. And if you don't eat it, we're going to squeeze the trigger. And if I couldn't get away, and if my hands were tied, and I couldn't stick a finger through their eyeball, or I couldn't take and rip their throat out, I'd say, pull away. I shall not eat pork. I shall not violate the Father's laws as the best I possibly can. To the last drop and to the last breath. I am standing on something that the Lord calls most holy unto him. Now, I don't know what that means. I just know that it sounds real good to me. And I'm not sure I qualify to even be here. But I'm willing to give to any man or man, any woman or women, if my children don't comply and they don't square away. I don't think they've ever listened to a single radio show. I don't think they've read a single piece of paper. I'm willing to have my unknown brothers and sisters come here and stand, occupy, possess, defend, receive the substance, the nutrients, all the bounty of this land. And I shall be blessed if one man or 50 men, if one woman or 50 women show up here that have eyes and ears after I'm dead. And I will say, Lord, thank you so much for those individuals that wanted to declare Alamo on your land. Some of the most bravest men in the history of this country, they weren't recruited, they weren't ordered. They understood there was one hell of a battle getting ready to happen down in Texas, and they knew there were some lousy, no-good, rotten Santa Ana guys that were raping, murdering, burning, eating people. And they said, I'm packing up my horse. I'm carrying my spare horse with my extra food, my extra rifle. They went down there, and they made a stand. They fought to the death. And even the men that were captured, When given an opportunity to do what Santa Ana said, they said, screw you. And they accepted their death right then and there. That's what this country needs a little bit more. Tired of the yellow-bellied sapsuckers, men and women that want to just talk, talk, talk. You come here to this land, you possess it, you defend it, you live on it, you enjoy it. Look at the views you get. The serenity that I have phenomenal. I cannot begin to tell you how beautiful it is and how I enjoy my day. Yeah, I'm real busy. And yeah, I get blisters on top of calluses, and sometimes my calluses tear and I have to peel them off. You know, after about 50 times, it doesn't hurt as bad tearing a callus off, but it sure is a dandy the first couple times. This is yours, ladies and gentlemen. You with eyes and ears. The Christ says, woe unto he that refuses a cup of water to one of these little ones. I offer a cup of water. And never in my life, I hope, will the Lord be able to say, I did not offer my cup of water. It is here. If I'm dead, you come get it. You take your vow before the Father in heaven and his only begotten Son, and you say, Lord, to the best of my abilities, I'm going to learn the Father's law, and to the best of my abilities, I am going to keep the Father's law, and I am going to defend your land. That's good enough for me, and I believe it's going to be good enough for him. Is it good enough for you? Do you actually have to come here to possess this land, or can you get in the mountains where you're supposed to be and find your own peace of ground, of soil, of dirt? Can you make sure that the Christ will not say to you, woe unto he who faileth to give a cup of water to one of these little ones? That's why we're supposed to be going to the mountains now, ladies and gentlemen, to get ready for our brothers and sisters that weren't thinking ahead of time when they come out of the cities naked. We are to get there now. We are to provide for them. Only our brothers and sisters. Only the ones that want to learn and keep the Father's law. The ones that want to eat pork, to hell with them. That's where they're going anyway. I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. I hope you understand. I hope you could see. I hope you understand how much it hurts to have to write something like I writ. But I will stand to the last drop, to the last breath. Find other folks like y'all that want to do that. Blessings. Hope to see you next week. To rush would be a crime. 'Cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Every time, like the man says one more time, nice and easy does it, nice and easy.